Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Chris Williams and Mylon Yurkovich. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hey, good to be
with you.
Thanks for having us here.
I was watching the news recently, and I saw something really tragic. There were two people that went up to the peak of Mount Everest. That's in the Alps, isn't it? I believe. Anyway, whether or not it is. But they made it to the top.
Mm-hmm.
They died on the way down from exposure or whatever. Boy, isn't that kind of a picture of what happens to some people? They'll work their whole life and then they'll decide, okay, I'm going to get help. Mm-hmm. They go get the help. They make it. They go to Every Man's Battle, or they go to a marriage, and then for some reason they think, okay, well, that did it. I got it all together, and their biggest failure or flop or whatever occurs at right after the moment of greatest victory.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen to me. It's so sad.
It is sad, but death being the. You know, there's really nothing after that unless we're Christian,
well,
moving on. But
yeah,
you can't get back down. But for those of us who survived the flop, we now have the tools to get through the flop.
Yeah,
and that's what New Life does.
You have to pick yourself up. But also, you have to be ready that when you have a major victory, that's where Satan wants to deal with you, pull you down. But I remember 10 years ago, I literally had this thought. I am so close to God. And it was a really tough battle right after that.
Yeah.
And I just think any time you achieve something, especially a spiritual thing, Satan says, okay, I can mess that up.
Yeah.
You got to be really careful.
See, I think this is really an important point, Steve. When we choose to serve Christ and when we serve to go out in a ministry direction, the enemy will oppose us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes I think around our workshops, around like when Kay and I go out and speak, sometimes the strongest opposition from the enemy happens right before and right after.
Yeah.
And I think you're bringing up an excellent point.
Yeah. Last night, my wife and I are mentoring a engaged couple into marriage and kind of do some premarital work with them. They get together on the front porch. And we have this really, really painful conflict right before that they come over. The enemy does not play fair.
No.
Right.
He doesn't care. He doesn't, and he will use any tactic in any situation, including our own weaknesses against us.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's a cautionary tale, and I hope that, you know, maybe if you've had some victory in your life, you might think, oh, maybe I ought to be really cautious. Stay connected to folks. Don't think that you've ever achieved some level of spiritual maturity, and now you're off free. You're a big target.
Do you now, keep him on the front porch, or do you let him come in the house?
Don't let him come in. They could.
I mean, I'm just wondering. You said we'd have this on the front porch, and I'm just wondering if you let him come in your house.
Only if it gets cold enough. Yeah, but actually, we put our kids to bed. We put a monitor on the front porch, but we've designed our front porch for community and connection.
Nice. Hey,
okay.
Look at this. Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud have put together 20 steps to defeating addictions. And one of those steps is about forgiveness. Another one is about developing talents. I mean, there are a lot of things that you just don't normally see. Well, there are 20 of these here. If you want them, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll send it to you. And if you haven't noticed, on Fridays, it's John Henry and Steve. The boys are in. We'd love for you to join us for these Flashback Fridays. And it's kind of fun seeing that the same stuff that worked back then, 10 years ago, still relevant today. We'll take a break, then we'll come back, and we'll go right to your phone calls here on New Life Live. Glad you're with us with Chris Williams, Milan Jurkovic, two amazing, amazing knights in shining armor.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterman here. Let's go to Philadelphia, where we're going to talk with Kim. And on WFIL, we'll go to Ann right after this. But hello, Kim.
Whoa, get
Kim,
to the phone.
What was that?
I don't know.
Kim,
well,
you okay?
Hi,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes. Hello?
Did you break anything?
Okay.
All right.
No.
Okay,
good.
That was
a close call.
How could we help you?
Well, first, I just want to thank you so much for what you're doing in your ministry. I've called your show many times, and you've given me great advice for my life. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And how many times do you think you have called?
Over the years, mm-hmm. over the past 10 years, probably 3 to 4 times.
Wonderful.
That's excellent.
Now, how can we help you today?
Well, okay. I am 44.
Okay.
And I got married 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope that my husband and I had when we got married was that we would have children. My husband had been married before, and he has 2 kids, and his prior marriage was high conflict, and the divorce was conflict, had a lot of conflict, and there's been a lot of conflict since.
Okay.
But I still want children.
All right.
I want them desperately.
Yeah.
But I've gone to 2 specialists, and I have not been able to. I've had a miscarriage, actually.
Hmm.
And it's still the desire of my heart to nurture a child.
And so what does he say in response to that desire?
He's supportive. He is supportive, but, his kids are now 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything that he has had to go through because of them, he says he struggles to imagine himself a father again, but he will do it for my sake.
Okay.
And my question is, do I have the right to push for that? I'm looking into adoption. I want to adopt. I feel like it's something that God approves of, and I want to have a child. It's the hope that I've had my whole life.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know if I'm just being selfish.
Let's hear what Milan and Chris have to say, and then I'll weigh in on the situation after that. What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, Kim, I'm really sorry, and I want to empathize with the fact that for someone who so desperately desires to have a child to nurture, to not have one would be really hard. And I want you to know I hear that.
It's broken my heart.
I know it has. I know it has. Okay. Now, I'm going to share something with you that's going to be unpopular possibly to a lot of people, but I think it's really important for you to hear.
Now, right? There go the ratings.
Yeah, here they go. I want you to really study adopted children. I want you to do research on adopted children and that they – that they are very different than a bio child. And oftentimes they're not as easy, or the bonding, the connection, the attachment isn't always as easy as it is. And so I want to be careful that you know what you're getting into, that an adopted child, even if you take them on day one, isn't necessarily going to feel the same or have the same response to you that a biological child would. And I'm concerned about disappointment in mm-hmm. you. Yeah. If, in fact, that child isn't responsive to your nurture, and I just simply want you to be well-informed.
Point.
Chris, you have a thought?
Well, it was actually, I was thinking the same thing, is that, Kim, I hear your desire to be a mother, to nurture a child, to be a part of their life. And to Mylon's point, there is a difference in that. But in addition to that, conflict or disagreement or being on different pages as far as parenting and in your marriage mm-hmm. is not the best environment to raise a child in. And so being able to work through this and get on the same page with your husband, I believe, is critically important. And again, to Mylon's point, there are different challenges in raising an adopted child, and that we couldn't predict all of exactly what that is, mm-hmm. and we don't want to paint with too broad of a stroke in that, but we just know that it is more challenging in certain areas and it is different in certain areas, mm-hmm. and that you guys being together on the same page walking through that is really, really important.
Okay, so Kim, when you ask, should I push for it? Well, I think the answer would be absolutely no, because you don't want to push this. Given all the realities that are there, you want him to be saying, I want this. This is going to be something that both of us will do together. Because if you do hit a bump with a child, you don't want this thing of, well, you know, this was your idea, and I mm-hmm. wasn't really for it.
Right.
And so I just want to give you that caution. I would say to him, I am so grateful that you're willing to look at this because it's something that I want. Could we go talk to a counselor or something, and let's see if this could become something we both want, or is it just out of the question? Now, I had an 18-year-old daughter. She's 25 now. When we had Amelia, my 18-year-old is adopted, or she's 25 now, but she was my adopted daughter. I had a biological daughter, and so I'm just saying I understand the age difference there between his kids and what your child would be. I get that, and it isn't a horrible thing. Mm. But my daughter, because of who she was, she has made amazing choices in her life. We have an extremely close relationship, and it's just one of the greatest joys in my life. All of the potential negatives that happen with any child, they just didn't happen with her. Never into drugs, never alcohol, nothing. And just a wonderful gift to the world and to my life and other people. So people say, well, how do you raise a child like that? I say, well, you'd have to raise her because she had choices to make. So you want to go into this knowing that there's a possibility for the great joys of life. There are also possibilities for great struggle and pain, and you need your partner 100% on the same page with you, not just supporting you in a project, mm-hmm. but wanting to be the parent of a child who needs two parents, needs to be mm-hmm. adopted. But I'm the biggest advocate for adoption because of the wonderful experience I've had. I'm also an even bigger advocate for being realistic and not making this a pet project and you're the only one of the two that wants it. So what do you think about the things that we've shared here?
I think that those are really valid points. And so I guess I have a follow-up question. So suppose it never becomes something that he deeply wants. Mm-hmm. Not that I believe that's true, but suppose it's never something that he's completely on the same page with me about, then how do I cope for the rest of my life not having children of my own?
Well, I'm going to hope and pray that you get a counselor that helps him to understand your deep desire and love for this. I'm going to hope that he responds to that. But with your desire so strong, with a good counselor who's helping you express that, if he can't get on the same page, then you're going to have to, I think you're going to have to go through some grief work and get through this so that you're not resenting him. And you never know. Sometimes God does use the resistance of one person to steer us in another direction. And so, you know, I don't know what it would be, but like 5 years from now, you discover, oh, well, hey, if we had adopted, this couldn't have happened or whatever. I don't know. What do you think is the best advice for her if he never gets on that page?
Kim, I would explore the strength of your desire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by that, can I ask you a personal question? How nurturing was your childhood?
It was, my physical needs were met, but in terms of like emotional connection, it really wasn't there.
Okay, so I suspected that, and that's why I asked the question. So then I would have to ask the question, what am I trying to do with this child? Am I trying to replace my own needs for affection and nurture? Who am I really nurturing here? And it may be that in Kim's mind, I'm thinking that a child will allow me to give to somebody else what I didn't experience myself, which is a good thing. It's a really good thing. But you're telling me about a very powerful force inside, and now I understand it better. So maybe some of the grieving of the lack of connection and the lack of nurture is going to be important for you in this journey.
Yeah, and I would just add that, Kim, the solution to your desire to nurture is all wrapped up in this one area, and that is to have a child. And again, I want to affirm that that's natural and that is a good thing. But also looking for other areas in your life that you can invest in. Is there ministries there or organizations who support younger girls, mentoring programs, that sort of thing, where you can – you know, really pour into the lives of other young girls or children?
Yes, there are. There are. My husband and I are very connected in our church, and so I do have good friendships with other people, and I do encourage other people. And so there is that in my life. And then I have, you know, people in my own family that I'm close to. Other people that I do love and
nurture. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you this little book, Every Man's Marriage, and it's about mutual submission, and it's a great way for both people to look at what do I want, what do I need, what are my motives, and what are the wants, needs, and motives and desires of my spouse, and how could I facilitate, or is this the time for me not to enable? It's a great little book, and I'm going to send that to you. I'm so glad you called, and I hope you'll call us again when something comes up. I'd love to know what the outcome of this is, not to be handled lightly by any means. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It is the phone number that you can call if you need help in any way. Now let's go to Ann, and she's calling us from Boston, Massachusetts, listening on WEZE. Hello, Ann. Welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Good. I'm a long-time listener, more than 10 years, first time calling in, and I just want to say I'm so grateful for all the advice I've gotten from you guys over the years, and I felt like today was my day to call, and here I am. I want to ask you about family relationships.
Okay.
About 4 years ago, I experienced a trauma. I was assaulted by a man that was engaged to be married to my sister. And I spoke out about it to my family, and as a result, they stopped speaking to me for about 2.5 years.
Why? Why would that be their reaction, that they're not speaking to you for 2 years because you say, this man assaulted me? I don't get that.
I feel like it's really a part of a bigger pattern in my relationships with them. I've kind of played the role of scapegoat in my family for a long time. There's a lot of trauma history there, and I think they just weren't able to face what was happening. They didn't trust my perspective, and they rejected me as a result.
It's horrible. Horrible. Yeah. Horrible. I'm so sorry.
Did this man marry your sister?
Really awful.
Did this man marry your sister?
Well, I came back to the family 2 years later to find that he had all but really destroyed her life. He was a pretty malevolent guy. And I knew that. And I think, in a way, I was speaking out because I wanted to protect her from that. And it didn't go so well for me or my daughter at the time, who was about 12. They didn't speak to her either for a long time. There was a lot of shame for me. I did therapy. I found a small group that was helpful. But I entered back into relationship with them about 2 years ago. And it's been really difficult. And I'm questioning, we never spoke about any of it. We never spoke about the rejection. We never spoke about, in my attempts to talk about it, were met with almost hostility. But I really wanted them back. It was the most devastating experience in my life to have lost them.
Sure.
And so,
hey, hold on. We're going to go to a break. Ann, hold on. I'll get right back to you. I'm so glad you called.
I found out 4.5 months into my marriage that my husband has a sexual addiction. I signed up for Women in the Battle.
The Women in the Battle workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues.
When I got to Women in the Battle, it was the first time I'd actually met face-to-face with people that had been through it.
Join Dr. Sherry Keffer June 24th through the 26th in Dallas, Texas.
The beautiful thing about Women in the Battle is it stopped the bleeding, I guess you could say, because I got to tell my story. I felt validated, and the therapists, they understood because they'd been there themselves.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It's invaluable. I figure that I saved myself thousands of dollars in therapy back at home by going to that workshop.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yes, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Wow, what a horrible, horrible, horrible story. And I'm praying that your family's listening, because, oh my goodness, I hate these stories of where somebody steps up, says this happened, and nobody believes them. Then it plays out.
Yeah.
You can't deny that you were onto something here, and then they can't even say, so sorry.
Yeah.
Please forgive me. You were right. What's your sister ever said to you about all of this?
Almost nothing. Almost nothing. I think she's recovering, you know, in a number of ways from addiction and just the trauma of that relationship. And I just sort of felt like it was unimportant, that I just wanted her to be well. And I was just grateful that she was getting well. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to try to approach it with her.
Well, what's the question for us then?
I guess my basic question is, I'm sort of suffering in these relationships, and I think it's because of this sort of void, you know, of not having talked about this major issue. I mean, it affects me in other areas of my life. Mm-hmm. And am I being healthy?
Mm-hmm.
What should I be requiring from my family? And if they've made it clear that they don't want to talk about it, how do I manage those relationships?
Okay. What do you guys think? I mean, this is horrible.
It is horrible. And I'm glad you're saying that, Steve, because it needs to be clear here. That traumatic people, dangerous people, create dangerous environments.
Right.
And if it's if it remains in denial, and if it remains unaddressed, unhealed, unrepentant, you know, untransformed, it's still dangerous. The same environment where this happened, it could easily happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want that to be crystal clear, and that as a result, you owe nothing to this environment. And nothing to the people who keep this thing going. Because the people who protect horrific abuse and assault and trauma are the people who are complicit with it as well. And I want to make sure that that's crystal clear. In the Great Love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, there's something that says that love always protects. What you're experiencing in your family, I can clearly tell you, is not love. And that's usually where we're – and the primary place that God has placed in our lives to experience love. And so there becomes this very, very difficult choice that you're facing, Anne. It's horrible. I wish you – no one would have to face this choice. And that is, you have your family of origin that is a very – that doesn't operate like a family. And in fact, just the opposite. It creates a tremendous amount of pain and hurt and trauma in your life. But we all need family. And there is this difference that we have to choose. And that is, if our family of origin can't be family, then we need to then establish a family of choice. And that is really understanding and connecting to people who are safe, people who do express the actual tangible characteristics of love.
Well, in fact, when you join a healthy recovery group or support group, it can become the second family that helps you overcome the perils of the first sick family. Mylon, you want to weigh in on this a little bit here?
Anne, were you going to say something?
I think that has come true, that my support group is really showing me. I recently had a situation where a group leader sort of approached me in a romantic way, and it was really difficult, and it brought up a lot of these hard feelings for me. So I went to some other people in the church and just told them what happened, and they were so supportive, and they were so helpful. And I think experiencing a healthy reaction is what has led to me
Now look at that. Look at that. He didn't assault you. He just approached you in a romantic way. It's inappropriate. And they believed you. They took up for you. Your own family.
They totally did.
You get assaulted, and your own family can't even step up to that reality. Mylon, a couple of things here.
Well, Anne, this may sound a little unusual, but perhaps what you have to realize is, in safe company, somebody might fall in love with you. In a safe group, somebody might be attracted to you. In a safe group, you might find a partner that would want to walk through life with you. And yet it could scare you, and I think it is important to be able to distinguish and acknowledge the difference.
Just curious, what was inappropriate about it to you?
Or was it inappropriate?
Well, that's an interesting question. He was indirect, and I feel like he was in a position of leadership in a sort of a therapeutic environment, and I felt like that it was a little, you know, just inappropriate that he approached me when
sense.
I was kind of experiencing some weakness, and, you know,
and that's,
I didn't like it.
That's very legitimate, and I appreciate the distinction. Having said that, it's still possible someone might fall in love with you someday from a small support group or support group of healthy people. Now, there's this tension then that Chris and Steve is saying. The tension is, I'm drawn toward my family of origin, but my family of origin hurts me. And the question you're going to have to ask then is, will I let what Steve and Chris already said, will I let my new family and my new families begin to take higher levels of priority in my life, and I will seek less from this family of origin. I will not expect them to be healthy. I had a family member and that I never could, their entire life, ever share with them much about my own personal life because they were never healthy. They were not safe. So we have to really ascertain.
All right. When we come back, I'm just going to take a second to give you the shaker solution to your problem, okay? So we'll do that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I found the pornography on the computer. He had been signing up for a number of dating and sex solicitation websites.
The Women in the Battle workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues.
I didn't know anything about sexual addiction or the recovery process or anything. And one of the resources I found was Dr. Sherry Keffer talking about what it was like to go through the trauma from someone else's sexual addiction or betrayal, and I knew I'd found the right place.
Join Dr. Sherry Keffer June 24th through the 26th in Dallas, Texas.
As soon as I got there, it was very welcoming, safe environment.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Women in the Battle was hands down the most productive, effective, and helpful workshop I've ever been through.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that 5-minute clip, and that 5-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. And here's the thing. In the Bible, it says, hey, if you guys are out there trying to help people, win people to Jesus, and they're not responding, just shake the sand off your sandals and just move on.
Mm.
And I really think sometimes it's so difficult to do it, but it is really what we're called to do. Now, I've said this before, and I would want this for you. Everything that they have done is so sad and tragic, but I would hope that one day you would find this place in you that I called amused detachment. That you're so resolved that they are so sick and you are not, that you have a different life and they do not, that when you see them do things to you, when they try to connect with you or talk with you or manipulate you or shame you, it's so predictable that you're actually amused by it rather than triggered into some kind of, you know, horrible emotional fit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're detached because you've resolved it. I have to shake the dust off of my sandals here and move on. And when they try to reconnect with me in their sick ways, I've so resolved it. I can even kind of smile on the phone as they're saying things to me that normally I would have reacted with tremendous shame or whatever.
That's a fabulous point, and I think it's an excellent way. I love that amused detachment concept.
I'm stealing that.
But it's, well, copyright means a right to copy. So,
right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So anyhow, but Anne, I also know you're a single mom, and I know you have a 12-year-old daughter, and I'm sure that at some level you're desperate for family connection.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
And
that was one of the more painful aspects.
I know. And I just want you to know we see that. But what Steve said is vitally important, because let's go one step further. What is the lesson to your daughter? Do I let people harm me? Do I go back in for yet another punch? Do I walk back in the ring one more time and get hurt again? Do I teach my daughter to tolerate the intolerable? And what, Steve, you're saying here is very important even to model to my daughter.
Well, imagine the daughter at age 20 at Starbucks, and someone says, tell me about your grandparents. And she says, I don't know my grandparents because they were so cruel and evil. My mom protected me from what no one protected her from.
That's right.
And I'm so grateful to her. I really believe that that is a tremendous legacy rather than a child's, oh, I want to get to know Grammy and Granddad. And then you just fall into that. And then 5 years later, the sickness is handed down to your
daughter.
Child.
Yeah. So let me tell you all about my mom. What a great lady she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's 16 now, and she's actually much less concerned about the relationships than I am.
Yeah.
I think in some ways has a more healthy perspective and doesn't want as much connection as I do.
Let her lead you.
Yeah, and so here, you've been challenged to respond to go to the next level. Hearing what your 16-year-old is saying, double dog or triple dog, everything we've said, it's time for you to resolve this and realize you can't change them, and it has nothing to do with who you are, okay? Nothing to do.
Yeah, we like you, Ann.
Who you are.
Yeah.
All right.
And one more thing. There's a conference coming up called Take Back Your Life.
No, it's actually Take Your Life Back.
Take Your Life Back. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Yeah. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
You'll be able to see things in such a clear way by going to this conference.
Join us. Let's see if we can get a scholarship for you.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
All right. Anybody can help
us? Stay on the line,
call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Lucy from Colorado Springs, Colorado. KGFT is the station. Hi there.
Hi. I'm so glad you took my call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I need help really bad, and I have been married 24 years, and I have a 13-year-old son.
Okay.
My question has to do with keeping myself sane and healthy and loving and all the qualities that come with that 1 Corinthians 13 passage of love.
Mm-hmm.
My son, when he was 9, I had been homeschooling him at the time, and there were just things about my son that I didn't see my friends have to deal with their children who were his peers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I brought it up to my husband, he was really upset at the thought of the things that I addressed. My son, I had to essentially, in a hiding, kind of a quiet fashion, just start to seek out professionals. Within about a year and a half, my son did get a diagnosis of ADD, oppositional defiance, as well as depression by the time he was 9. And so it's been a journey since then. 3 years ago, when my son was about 10, my husband asked me if I would leave the town that we lived in so that we could push reset in our marriage and in our parenting. I was 50 at the time and had a great support system with a group of women that we studied scripture with for about 10 years. So safety was confidentiality, safety, emotional health was just amazing. I was really afraid. We took a year to get counseling about the move, and I think my fear probably stemmed from the fact that I felt like I was going to be emotionally alone.
Okay, we got to get to a question here pretty quick, okay?
We're 3 years in, and so what resources are available to spouses who are in a marriage where there's learning disabilities? My husband was emotionally and physically abused as a child. I didn't find that out until the year before we moved here.
Mm-hmm.
To stay in the marriage, feels really mental a lot of the time. And so what resources, what would you recommend?
Okay. All right. Well, You have any questions for her or have a response to her?
Well, one of my responses, Lucy, in hearing your story is that your son is dealing with a pretty serious problem, pretty difficult problem, ADD, what we call ODD, oppositional defiant, as well as depression. Those are really painful experiences. And that you mentioned something about those going into quiet, hiding, seeking help, your husband wanting to move. Those are all, to me, signs and symptoms that there is a shame response. There's something shameful about him having these struggles and not having maybe solutions to them or not wanting to be in the light. You mentioned the great love chapter. It says, love always rejoices with the truth. And really, how I really understand that is that it's important that problems get exposed to the light of truth because they will never be resolved unless they do. And when they do, we can find a resolution. I think the most important thing right now is you're asking about your husband, and it sounds to me like he may need some work on his own, working through what his son's struggle means to him. I would recommend, maybe his own counseling, his own therapy, if he'd be willing to that group, a group of guys that he can journey with and walk with. But it sounds to me like surrounding your son with as many resources as you can as far as counseling, support groups, psychiatry to work through these problems, as well as really important is that you remain connected as a family. And here it sounds like things need to get out in the open and talk through how you're feeling, what you're experiencing, these challenges in your life, in your son's life, in your husband's life.
Mylon, you have a thought here on?
Well, I do, Lucy. Oppositional defiance, another word for that, that's also known as anger.
Mm,
now,
good.
What's your son angry about?
You know, I don't know. I will say this, that in the last 2 years, we spent $10,000 on a family camp with Dr. Hallowell up at Lake Michigan. My husband, about 2 months ago, spent a week in intensive therapy up in Buena Vista. We've been having, we had counseling back home in Austin. We have been seeing two family counselors. One is the director of a big...
Okay, so with all that work, Lucy, so what's your son angry at?
I feel like he feels like he's, I don't know.
Okay, so stop right there. It may be possible that you have two people of male gender in your home that both have oppositional defiance.
I believe that came to me in the last two weeks. So how do I stay healthy and love them?
That's not the question, how you stay healthy. First is what's going on? What I'm perceiving, Lucy, is you may have two guys in the house that are both mad at you. Have you looked at that?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. It has been like that from...
Okay, so now we're talking about something different. We move out of these clinical diagnoses into I'm mad at mom and I'm mad at my wife.
We'll be back for more.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. We want to talk to you about our Intimacy Intensive for Marriages.
The Intimacy in Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 22nd through the 24th.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together. We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy levels of their life.
One of the things that we're going to do in this weekend is address the issues of sexuality, emotional intimacy, physical touch, things that the church traditionally does not address. We're going to be a place where you can come and really bring the real you, your real marriage, and it can be a very safe place.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
You come join us. We would love to have you there. I think we can meet some needs for you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
So Mylon has said, let's cut through all the diagnoses here and let's look at the anger existing from dad, son, to you, Lucy. And Mylon, just pick it up from there and see where you're going here.
Well, Lucy, you've had a little bit of time to respond to that and do you have a thought on that subject? I know that's not easy to hear, but it could be a possibility. You're the common denominator, it feels like, here.
Absolutely.
So what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you gotten any help for that, Lucy, as
you know,
a family?
Yes. I have been – I love therapy. If I could go back and get my master's, I'd do it.
Well, the master's won't make the anger go away. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no. That would be totally unrelated. I'm just speaking as a passion aside from that.
Okay, but go back to the anger.
Yeah. So, yes, from the time he was really, really little, like I'm talking toddler, from bathing to even dressing for church, my husband would be the first in there to take care of him. He hated getting water in his eyes, so my husband would insist that he bathe him because he shouldn't cry during a bath. And then when my son was five, the headmaster of school where he was in kindergarten, becoming 6 years old, he walked in and met her, and he high-fived her, but kind of did it really aggressively. And when he walked out of the room, her advice was, this kid's going to learn best by reality. My advice is to just let reality be his teacher. And so I took that advice to heart. But that advice was not well received by my husband or my son. So, yes, I have been kind of it's just been recently that I feel personally, I think a lot of my husband's, I found out the year before we moved to push reset that he'd been emotionally and physically abused. And when I heard that, it was like a light went off. Because my perception was that any time my son was in distress, my husband was rushed to the scene.
Okay, so Lucy, these are all great insights, but I think you ask, what do I do here? How do I get through this? How do I stay healthy? And the way we stay healthy is we lean into these places. We talk to our husband, and we go back, and we look 13 years, and we ask, you know, if your son's distressed, how distressed does that make you? You know, because your husband is reflecting, he is distressed when your son's distressed. And then that puts you that could potentially put you into the bad cop position. He's a good cop, you're the bad cop. Or it can set up a lot of different scenarios where you become more of something than you would like to be. That's where you guys need to spend your work. And I really think this is a big-time marriage issue, not just a parenting issue. Chris?
I would affirm that it all sounds to me that you guys have not been on the same page in your approach to parenting. And that does create confusion for children. One of the possible outcomes of that could be emotional dysregulation that shows up in anger. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to deal with my feelings, so I act out. But really addressing the marriage, I think, is really important here.
The sad thing was when the husband said, let's hit the reboot key, he wanted to put the boots on and move.
Yeah.
Well, reboot, right where the boots are. That's really the best way. The geographical cure kind of thing, let's just pick up and all that. Well, it doesn't usually, if ever, work because you're taking you with you. So I wish that that would happen. Look, if there's any way you and your husband could get to our intimacy intensive or the marriage solution, I say the intimacy intensive could change everything for you to bring you back together. But see, we've gone from talking about a son and a diagnosis to a relationship problem between you and your husband that's going to impact your son. You guys get your act together, work through, and it's going to affect everything within him. So often, a parent, one or the other, will be compensating for what didn't happen to them in their child, or they'll be reacting because of something that happened to them, and the overreaction then inflicts a different kind of wound on the child, and they say, gosh, I just was doing it because I loved him, and I didn't want him to go through what I went through. And they end up putting him through something else. That's what we don't want to have happen. So I hope that you guys can get to an intensive. If anybody can provide scholarship for this, it really does help us. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now here we are, June the 16th, and on the 24th is our Women in the Battle intensive. And we have seen women who lost the ability to decide, lost any desire to defend who they are as a person, lost that piece of them that wanted to be all that God called them to be. They go to Women in the Battle, and they find other women struggling. They find they're not alone. They find wisdom and healing. We want that for you. Would you call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? We'll tell you all about it. Now, in D.C., on the 22nd of July, that's our Intimacy Intensive. And we're going to look at spiritual, emotional, and physical intimacy. We're going to help you understand that stopping something unhealthy didn't help you develop healthy connection and intimacy physically, emotionally, spiritually. Mylon Kay will be there. I'll be there teaching. And I got to tell you, the dream for this occurred when my wife suggested that we go to a place where I would learn how to be better at being a man in bed and other places. It was life-changing. I want that for you. But here we're talking about the spiritual, emotional, and physical. And our first one we did, it was spectacular. 160 people there. Oh, my goodness, the life change that occurred. We want that for you. It could be exactly what you're looking for in your relationship. You call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And then Every Man's Battle is coming up. The next one is in Chicago on July the 8th. And then we go to Sacramento on August the 5th. We want to help you. And then as Chris mispronounced it, our newest workshop, Take Your Life Back. Your life, take it back. Don't let somebody else live it, destroy it, mismanage it. You do it. And let God be the director of that life. That's in October. Please come and let us help you. If you are owned by a behavior, shame in your past, or a person that wants to control and dominate your life. All of the wisdom that you've heard come out of here, so much of it, Mylon Kay wrote in the book, How We Love. You can get that book at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I hope you will.
And today is our anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
That's right. Speaking of Mylon and Kay and How We Love, today's our 44th anniversary.
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, in honor of you, I'm going to spend 44 seconds thanking God that you're part of this ministry because you have done a great thing here. And, you know, any of you, if you have a question, you can get it answered at tv.newlife.com. If there's a resource you want to know about, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Don't just continue to do what you've always been doing. Let us help you. That's what we're here for. And if you can help us, please do. Right here, smack dab. We figured it out. We calculated. This is right smack dab in the middle of summer, and we really need your help. We need your support, and we'll be happy to send you this emotionally destructive relationship book by Leslie Burnick to say thank you. And then also, if you're able to join Club New Life, oh boy, that could be so helpful to us, $20 a month. to start off your relationship as part of Club New Life. Please do if you can. In the meantime, pray for us. You can go to prayer at newlife.com. Commit to pray for 30 days. That changes everything for us too. We love you. So grateful that you're with us here watching or listening. You have a great day today. And we'll see you next time right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.